Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. This is the second hour of the John Moore Show on Sunday, the 30th day of January, year of our Lord, 2011. A final note before we move on to our special guest, Lucas. The film Red Dawn was mentioned during that hour. It was a fast hour, wasn't it? Red Dawn is not just the name of a movie. Red Dawn is the official Pentagon name for a war scenario. Some Hollywood scriptwriter did not dream up the title for the movie. All they did was adopt the title from a Pentagon war game scenario, which has to do, of course, with a communist invasion of the United States of America. Moving on, our special guest today is a regular guest, Lucas. Lucas has done some research regarding a blank spot in Google Sky. Most people are familiar with Google Earth. It's always fun to look up your house or Aunt Nellie's house or when you were into high school or something. But there's also a service called Google Sky, which looks out at the stars and the planets. There's a blank spot in Google Sky. It's very, very significant. And Lucas, are you there, sir?
Yeah, I am. Thanks for having me on, John. I appreciate it.
Okay. We'll have the first break here fairly quickly, but you put together some pieces, connected the dots in a very important fashion here. And tell us how this little project began, and we'll get as far as we can before the break.
All right. Well, basically, it started out in 1983. They published an article in the Washington Post titled Orbiting Eye Reveals Mystery Space Monster, where NASA had said that they had discovered with the IRIS telescope a heavenly body, possibly as big as the planet Jupiter, discovered in the western edge of the constellation Orion. And it says in the article that they saw it twice, so it wasn't just an anomaly. And
wasn't dust on the lens.
Yeah.
We got a break. Hold on, Lucas. We got a break. So everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Got an inside corner on the truth, thanks to John Moore and the Republic Broadcasting Network. To talk to John Moore live on the air, call 1-800-313-9443.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 30th of January. Lucas, I think it's important to point out to people that this IRAS telescope sees in the infrared spectrum, doesn't it?
Yes, and that's the one thing is that the disinformation out there. See, the astronomers are actually not lying when they say there's no planet out there because it's most likely a brown dwarf star and it can only be seen in the infrared because right. It's so cold it absorbs light and it would actually just to the human eye appear as a big black circle because right. It absorbed all the light around it.
Right.
But recapping, they found, you know, the IRIS had found this mystery object on the western edge of the constellation Orion back in 1983. And then in 2009, I found a video. Apparently a scientist or astronomer had leaked images of so-called Nemesis to the public on YouTube. And it wasn't long after that his account and the video were deleted. But somebody managed to get a copy of it. Usually people get a copy of anything important as soon as it goes up. And the video had an image and it had coordinates on it. So this guy went and he typed the coordinates into Google Sky, and it just happens to go to an area that's completely blacked out. And it's the only blacked out area in Google Sky. For some reason, just this one square area right in the western edge of the constellation Orion is blocked out. Very coincidental. I mean, here you have two coincidences now. So recently they just ran this story about will Earth have two suns by 2012, where they're trying to prepare the public that possibly Betelgeuse will go supernova and it will cause an effect to look like two suns in the sky. Well, it just so happens Betelgeuse is where? The western edge of the constellation Orion.
Right.
Right in perfectly. The Egyptians, they had, you know, the Orion was center, the key, the centerpiece to their thoughts on a cyclical event that changed mankind. So there's just so many coincidences that line up about Orion being the direction. It's also from the south, too.
Well, is there a, and I know you put together a presentation, is that available at your website?
Yeah, so you can go to rabbithole2.com and you can catch the little story. There's a couple videos on it and pictures and stuff.
Okay, outstanding. We got some callers on hold, and our first one is one of my research team, Sheldon. Go ahead, Sheldon.
Well, good afternoon, guys.
Go ahead.
Hey, Sheldon.
Hi, John and Lucas. Hey, I had talked to John DiNardo earlier today, and he's had contact again with one of his sources named Mark. That's the guy that talked about what we're eventually going to be seeing happen out in the Gulf of Mexico. Mark told him now that that the Mount Weather facility, it's a continuity of government underground installation outside Washington, D.C. He told him that they have started sealing off that facility, and I was just wondering if you or Lucas had any intelligence on that.
Well, sealing it off, I'm not sure what that means. They've got doors that would keep out anything, including chemical or biological weapons, and all they do is close them and lock them, so that's not a big deal for something built that way.
Yeah, I don't know what the details are. I'm assuming it has to do with, you know, last-minute preparations being made because they're expecting this cosmic event to happen. But
right. Well, it sounds like, I'm just kind of, you know, kind of thinking out loud here. Sealing it off may mean they've got their continuity of government people inside the installation and ready to, you know, begin work. And they would keep them locked in there, of course. And I don't know. Lucas, do you have any thoughts?
Well, I hadn't heard anything about that, but I wanted to, before I forgot, I wanted to mention on your last hour, you had mentioned about how the Chinese and Russians want to take over I-35, and that's pretty scary for me because I-35 is only 150 yards from where I'm at right now.
Well, yeah, that would be pretty scary. Yeah. Well, it's an excellent corridor running north-south, and the reason they built it and they're reinforcing it and making it bigger and better is because they're going to need it. The rest of these arguments really don't matter. They're going to need a good highway that runs right through the middle of the country, and that's I-35.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, Sheldon?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you got my email, John, but I checked out that U.S. Navy website, sea surface temperature map, late last night, and it was in all color when I looked at it
last
night.
Okay, that's good. Maybe they were having a problem when I looked at it because it was a bit concerning there. And I appreciate it. I did see that. Thank you for getting it to me.
Okay, that's all I had. Take care, John.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Lucas's website is World Wide Web, rabbithole2, the numeral 2.com. And that's where you can get Lucas's new two-disc set. And tell us about that, Lucas.
It's titled The Destroyer Star and the Future of Mankind. It's basically the first disc is a DVD that is me giving the presentation, and the second disc is a CDR, which is the actual presentation material itself. So you can, because there's so much information, I didn't have time to go over everything in detail. So what I did is I kind of breezed over everything just to give you, an objective of what it's all about, and then give you the material in your hand so you can see it yourself.
Yeah, well, that's... To some extent, that's what I did with my second disc of mine. I review probably 20 or 25 books, and with averaging 300 to 500 pages per book.
Wow.
And I do a quick synopsis of each book. There's so much material out there. It's really mind-boggling. Another call here. Cody from Arizona.
Hey guys, actually I had a question for the last caller. I work in a high-end liquor and tobacco store here in northern Arizona, and I'm finding lots of Russian rubles coming through here. So I was kind of curious if your guest earlier had been seeing that type of thing down in Mexico, and I've been down in the area where he was talking about, and they actually do have some type of a military installation right on the highway as you're getting into, right before you get into San Diego. off into that area he was speaking of with the roads that aren't being used by civilians.
What kind of military installation?
It's hard to say. You know, I just said in Spanish and then in English, military installation, and you can see it right off the highway.
I mean, is it Russian, Chinese, Mexican?
It doesn't. No, you can't see anything. You can see large white buildings with, I believe, a Mexican flag out front, but,
okay.
You know, very indiscreet. You know, you wouldn't know it was there until right. You actually stopped right. There. So.
Yeah, I'm interested. You can purchase tobacco and alcohol products in your store with Russian rubles?
No. Well, see, that's the thing is they're being passed as, like, the dimes. Some of these are
coins.
Dime size. And
coins. Okay.
But, yeah, that was just kind of weird for me. So
they just get mixed in with routine change is what you're saying.
Yeah, but my question for Lucas is, I came across him a while back with my own 9/11 investigation, and in his newest video, he's touched on the theory of this spiral in Norway, and I'd like him to really get into detail of what he thinks that is, because my research shows that it was more than likely a laser-generated, another...
Computer. Like a hologram, you mean?
Yeah, it was basically a hologram.
Okay. Lucas, go ahead, sir.
Well, basically, I researched into that, and I realized that the ancients, they didn't have any holograms back then, and they drew those spirals all over the world. And since there was no interconnectivity back then between people, they would have all had to see the same thing in space for them to draw that same exact image. So I kind of concluded that maybe what I tend to think is that a long time ago, when they knew that they were going to have to, you know, come up with explanations for something in the sky, they started creating disinformation things like Operation Blue Beam, okay, so that people would just say, oh, it's just the government playing games with us. And kind of shun it off. I tend to think a lot of these secret programs that are declassified are actually disinformation to guide the public down certain roads.
Okay.
That's pretty much my opinion on it.
Okay. Anything else, Cody?
No, thank you. Yeah, okay. I don't know. I know there's a lot of information out there, but it just there has to be something behind these optical illusions that everyone's seeing recently.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, the call number is 800-313-9443. This story about two suns that we will see this year, I think they, being the powers that be, Lucas, are trying to buy themselves another 3 months, maybe 4 months, to have people think, oh, this is normal. We've got two suns in the sky, no big deal, you know, and go back to professional sports and whatever else they do. What's your opinion?
Yeah, exactly. You said it right on the head. They're preempting it. They're coming out with a cover story ahead of time. That way, when it does happen, they'll be able to fall back on that information and say, hey, look, we told you it was going to be Beetlejuice. Don't be so scared.
Right. And in reality, Nemesis, which Nemesis Planet X, I mean, there's lots of names for this object, Wormwood. Once we can see it with the naked eyeball, we're down to the last few months before everything just falls apart, aren't we?
Yeah, and thank goodness that they, it's a weird kind of catch-22 situation here. Thank goodness that they do keep this from the general public and we don't see it on Fox News, because we wouldn't have that long at all. It would already be chaotic and it'd be people...
Well, it would. I'm getting calls. I was on the phone twice yesterday with a gentleman in who lives in Germany, a Native American living in Germany. I could hear the fear in his voice. And we got a break coming up. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back.
From Russia with love.
All right, we're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 30th day of January. Lucas, are you still there, sir?
Yes, sir.
You live near the I-35 Interstate Highway. Have you seen any improvements or changes in it since you've been close by there?
Not here in Austin, no. They don't, if they use this, they're going to have a bottleneck here in Austin because the way they designed I-35 going through this area is absolutely ridiculous. But, haven't made any changes to it. But what they have done is they have built a bunch of toll roads going around Austin in the last couple of years. It all are connected into the, with the Trans-Texas Corridor and all that, so.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they built a bunch of toll roads. Before I forgot, really interesting, you know, I don't really get into the UFO thing much, you know that, but,
right.
But when all these riots started in the Middle East, right?
Yes.
Right, one of the most interesting videos I've ever seen was apparently a UFO hovered over the Temple Mount, over the main temple, and then came down almost to the ground, and then there were these big flashes of light, and then it took off straight up in the air, and I never saw anything like that. You can watch that on YouTube just by, I guess, YouTube and Temple Mount UFO, and it's a pretty compelling video. Right at the time all these riots started.
So that was about 4 or 5 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Well,
yeah, it's weird, right?
I'm not sure what that means. I know there are different aspects to the UFO thing. The majority of what people see is U.S. and Russian military machines. But I really don't want to go down that rabbit trail today.
Right.
your research into Betelgeuse so forth, this is hugely significant. I got a email about this black hole, this black space on Google Sky from one of my research team down in Florida. I guess it's been about 8 or 9 months ago and when I first became aware of it. And sure enough, it's there. I mean, it's a perfect rectangle blocking out that part of the sky. It kind of reminds me of the Apollo astronauts being on the moon with no stars in the sky. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, you know what reminds me of? It reminds me of the monolith out of the 2010 space, the year we made contact.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. People talk about the powers that be wanting to impose martial law. No, they don't want to impose martial law. They'll do it when they have no choice. You know, UPS, FedEx, and the Postal Service being shut down hurts them just as much as it hurts us. They need spare parts too, don't they?
Yeah, they need the gears to keep running, and nobody wants a situation where it's all in turmoil.
No,
I mean,
no.
Whether you're elite or not, a lot of people are pushing this theory that the elites want to cause all this destruction, and they think that they're the cause of everything out there, which I think.
Well, the destruction is coming. The destruction is coming. That's a given. In the meantime, the elites. They need to prepare also. They need spare parts, equipment, supplies, and to move their people about. And martial law makes it difficult for everybody, not just us barefoot peasants like you and me, Lucas. So, no, they don't want it. They don't want it. They will, when there's no choice, they'll impose martial law, but only when there's no choice.
Yeah, that's a matter if the troops are going to stay at their post, or they're going to run back to their families to be with them, whether they're going to be able to keep that under control or not, too.
That's, you know, I'm getting reports from young men and women being deployed to Afghanistan and different parts of the world with the U.S. military. And I think what's happening in that regard, now that you bring that up, is these commanders are telling these people to have their families, their spouses and their parents and siblings, to stock up on food, medical supplies, ammunition, and firearms before they deploy. Because if these troops are overseas and they think their loved ones are in danger, they'll be distracted. They won't carry out their mission. They'll be thinking about one thing and one thing only. That's getting back to the United States by any means necessary to protect those that they love. And that's what we're hearing. We're hearing these people being deployed, warning their parents and siblings and spouses, get food, get ammunition, get medical supplies for at least 6 months. And that's what we're getting those reports from all over the country.
Yeah, we're in some there's so much, information flowing now that it's almost impossible to not see what's happening. You know, if you studied this stuff, it's almost impossible not to be able to put two and two together unless you're just a blithering idiot.
It is. And just in the last 2 weeks, I've got a number of calls from people that want my consultation services. I can hear, when I talk to them on the phone, I can hear the fear in their voice. When they write me emails, I get a sense of urgency. These people want to get prepared. They want to get prepared now. They're connecting the dots. They're generally bright young men and women who are successful in their chosen careers, typically in their 30s and 40s, who have small children, and they're just scared out of their wits because they have connected the dots.
Yeah, and it's too late now for them to tell the public. I mean, they are telling the public. If you watch the History Channel, if you watch all the TV, you'll notice that the whole forte has been switched over to survival shows, shows about Armageddon and the end of times and all kind of stuff.
Oh,
so they are preparing
right.
The public subliminally.
Yeah, but, hold on, Lucas. Everybody stay tuned. Right back.
John Moore is as close as your telephone. Call him right now, 1-800-313-9443.
All right, we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. This is J.R. Moore. It is Sunday, the 30th of January. Quick reminder, freeze-dry guy does have the food. Lots of rumors flying around out there about what's going on and what isn't. Freeze-dry guy does have the food. Two warehouses. Two teams of men and women to process your orders, get them packed up, and ship them out the door. Now, Mountain House is not selling number 10 cans of food to the public. They don't have enough to meet the demand. In fact, if you go to my website, you'll see Berkey water filters for sale. I can't take any orders because Berkey is back ordered till April, the distributor I work with. So I can't even take your order for Berkey water filters. But Freeze Dry Guy can take your order and get the order processed and get it out the door. If you mention you listen to John Moore on the radio, you'll get priority treatment, and that's a good thing. His toll-free number, call him tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock Pacific time, if you would, please, 866-404-3663. I say again, 866-404-3663. Website is freezedryguy.com, and there's a link to my website, thelibertyman.com. And Edison batteries. If you want electricity at your home, at your farm, at your ranch, economical, long-term electricity, talk to Rick Salata. He's up in Dillon, Montana on Pacific time, and you can give him a call about 9 o'clock, Mountain Time, Dillon, Montana on Mountain Time. Call him about 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, Mountain Time, at 406-834-3611. I say again, 406-834-3611. Special website set up for the batteries is ZapWorks, ZAPP, Zebra, Alpha, Papa, Papa, ZapWorks.com. There's a link to my website, thelibertyman.com. And that is my website, thelibertyman.com. You can read my bio, see my photographs, and see the excellent products I offer, including my new two DVD set, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, with the update disc and the interview with Tim Spencer, the Navy veteran. Lucas, are you still there, sir?
Yes, I am, John.
Okay, you've been very patient through all these commercials. We're down to the last few months. When I say a few months, a year or so, aren't we?
It's somewhere in this time range. Things are starting to pick up, you know, earthquakes, the weather events across the world. Things are definitely picking up.
I read a story, a meteorologist wrote a couple of paragraphs about the bizarre storms that we're having, and he said, oh, the wind, the jet stream, is doing these really strange things, and we don't know why.
Yeah, you know what? A weird phenomenon that I experienced twice last year that I've never seen in my life, and you would know it if you'd actually experienced it. Basically, here in Austin, it happened on New Year's Eve, and it happened somewhere right around Christmas. Not this last one, but the one before that. Basically, the wind would blow tremendously, like gust like 35 miles an hour, and then it would just stop dead. And it wouldn't blow at all for, like, maybe 2 minutes, and then it would just start gusting. And I've never – usually you have a light breeze in between gusts when you have wind.
Right,
never in my life seen gusts and then dead still in between. And other people noticed that, too, and were pretty freaked out by it.
Well, you get out into those flat parts of the country, the plains areas, and you know all about wind, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we get a lot of it here, for sure.
Yep. I'm blessed. One of the benefits of being here in the Ozark Mountains is we don't have very much wind, at least not all the time, especially at night. Usually, if there's a windy day, typically in the evening, the wind is pretty much finished and over for the night until the next morning. Well, that's unusual. Any explanation why that was going on?
No. I didn't find anything about it anywhere, but I noticed it personally twice, and it was kind of weird. You would notice unless you actually experienced it, but to have the wind just stop dead like that is really a weird thing. It's like almost like, I guess, before a tornado comes or a big thunderstorm, how it just like completely stops, right? And then, you know,
well,
so I don't know.
Weather anomalies are certainly part of this. In my original DVD done in 2008, I warned about the Gulf Stream being at risk of stopping. And apparently, I've gained a tremendous amount of credibility now that it has stopped. And
yeah,
this one host I was with, Zeph Daniel and his wife Trish, I did a guest appearance on their show. They said, "John, your prediction came true." And I said, "You know, if I say the sun's coming up tomorrow morning, is that a prediction? Hardly." You know, if you know something's going to happen and you say it, you're not making a prediction, are you?
Right, exactly. And that's how I think a lot of prophecy happens, because, you know, the ancients wrote down what they saw and dealt with. And now in today's world, it looks like prophecy, like they were trying to tell the future. But in all reality, they just experienced it or had firsthand knowledge passed down to them of people that experienced it.
Right. And they had enough knowledge to make a statement about these events happening in the future, didn't I?
Yeah. I mean, for instance, you know, these Nostradamus is a good, for instance, he had access to a vast library of books, and many of those things don't even exist today. So, you know, he might have had knowledge passed down through, you know, generations that we don't even have access to today. And
right.
That's how a lot of the predictions might have been made.
Now, he was Jewish, but did he work with Christian scholars also? I don't know that much about the man. Wasn't he Jewish?
Well, he was Catholic. And,
oh, he's Catholic. Did he have access to the Vatican vaults, the Vatican Library?
I believe he had a lot of, and he had a lot of big connections, because he was known as a healer, you know, for healing people under the plague, and basically, he got well recognized that way, and had a lot of higher end connections throughout his life.
Right. Well, a lot is made of Nostradamus and the quatrains that he wrote, and of the warnings that he was given. I think people that have had access to the Vatican vaults and the Vatican Library, that had the knowledge to understand what they were looking at, most likely Nikola Tesla had access to the Vatican vaults. His father worked for the Vatican. And Nikola Tesla may have been the first electrical engineer to look at some of those books in 20 or more centuries.
Yeah, and I mean, you're not going to get these books at the New York Library. These
No.
are things that are held sacredly in, you know, airtight containers and down in the Vatican Library. So, there's probably a lot of information. In fact, look how they restrict the archaeology in Egypt. They've known for a long time that there's a chamber underneath the left paw of the Sphinx, but yet they won't let anybody in there to see what it is. And I'm sure it's because...
You know darn well that the powers that be have been in there. If there's any technology or documents, they've recovered them long ago.
Yeah, they've probably already been down there and taken them out. So.
Of course, they're not going to let something like that go. We got a call here. Patrick in Arkansas. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hi, John. I was wondering if I might be able to tie both subjects that you're covering today together.
Okay. Please, go ahead if you can.
Luke was talking about the prophets and yourself and speaking of what's going to happen by knowledge. And I don't know if you've ever heard of a prophet that was sent to America. He passed away in 2000. His name was Dimitri Dudeman.
I met Dimitri. I met Dimitri and shook his hand.
Well, praise the Lord. We met his grandson, Michael, but in his book, Through the Fire Without Burning, he prophesied that the Chinese and the Russians would come
That's
and
right.
invade.
That's right. He did. He did. Yeah, and I've got that book, and you're absolutely right there, Patrick. Yep.
I thought I'd just touch base on that. Thank you, John.
Okay. Appreciate it. Yeah, Dimitri was a Russian, I believe Russian, and he was on a nationwide speaking tour of the Prophecy Club. That's when I got a chance to meet him and shake his hand. And he's not the only one. George Washington had a vision that at the time he had this vision 200 years ago, didn't make much sense, but in light of current events, it makes perfect sense dealing with the Russians and Chinese. You have any thoughts along those lines, Lucas?
Yeah, well, here's a really, really scary statistic. China, their military statistics, they have 750 million people that are fit for active military duty. Well, America's entire population is only 350 million, so they've got to double our population that's fit for active military duty.
Right.
That's a pretty scary thought.
Well, it is. They're building right now, and I've got this from my private intelligence services. They're building a 1 million man and horse cavalry in Mongolia right now. And the Book of Revelation does talk about the invasion from the east with cavalry, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. And, well, it's all fitting together.
It is.
Big, giant, billion piece jigsaw.
You're right. The Chinese are on a massive building program in Central Africa, not only Mexico, but building critical infrastructure in Central Africa, highways, airports, water treatment plants, sewage treatment plants, power plants, getting ready to essentially take over Central Africa. China will be losing a large percentage of its agricultural area in the not-too-distant future, being underwater. Central Africa, on the other hand, will still be a place with plenty of water, fertile soil, a good growing season, and all appearances are that the Chinese intend to invade and take over Central Africa, just like the Great Plains states of the United States.
Yeah, it's going to be a heck of a battle.
It will, and you're on the forefront down there, being near Austin. I was just looking at a map here of Austin and San Antonio and all that. It's a big state that you're in, and your state is one of the few states I've been in where people fly the state flag in addition to the American flag, or instead of, at their homes.
Oh, yeah, lots of people fly the Texas flag here. It's because our state's the only one that can legally secede from the Union. There's actually a movement down here in Texas for that. I wouldn't want to do that. It wouldn't be very conducive of Texans. Our economy down here it would tear the state apart. But there is generally a movement down here that wants us to secede from the Union.
Well, that's been going on for some time, and I don't know if it's ever going to go anyplace. But there's a lot of movement in a number of state capitals too. Put the federal government of the United States in its place and tell them we don't need what you're offering, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, they're bringing it on themselves. You know, they're wondering why things are happening and why there's so much aggression towards the police and all that. I mean, when people see these videos of a cop punching a 60-year-old lady in the face 10 times, it's starting to incite a little public outrage. You know, remember, go back to the times of Adam 12 and look how they dealt with people on their police shows. And then you watch an episode of Cops today, you know, and it's such a night and day scenario.
Agreed. Yeah, well, I've been watching this. I've been working with the criminal justice system for 38 years, and I've watched this whole thing as it's matured over the years. We got some callers coming in here. How about Jeff from Chicago?
Mr. Moore, how are you?
Yes, sir. Good.
Good to talk to you again. Oh, hi, Lucas.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. Hey, can I read a few links that are really, really recent that tie in the Wheeler murder with the military movements and the movement of Rahm Emanuel into being the mayor of the city of Chicago, please?
Well, give us a couple of them, sure.
Sure. I was searching for John Wheeler in startpage.com, and I came across a couple things. One is conspiracyplanet.com, and it's by Greg Szymanski. So it's conspiracyplanet.com, and it's called, the article is called U.S. State Terror Conspiracy, Oklahoma City and 9/11 Bombing. And the line that is of really, really importance that I notice here is about, also in February 2002, I went to a bioterrorism conference in St. Louis, and for 3 days I talked with Delta Force and special ops guys, all of them saying they knew 9/11 was staged and that our own government was in control and pulling the strings of terrorism. They warned me that the next event was going to be a radiological event involving six major cities, including Denver, Chicago, Atlanta, Seattle, Boston, and San Diego. Okay, here are the next links before we discuss it. Go to YouTube, please, anybody out there, to the search box and type in two links. One is William Daley and Rahm Emanuel are Rothschild's choices. YouTube search box, William Daley and Rahm Emanuel are Rothschild's choices. The other is YouTube search box, exposed Rahm Emanuel. YouTube search box, exposed Rahm Emanuel.
Okay.
John, thank you for everything you do.
Appreciate
it. Can you tie
it.
In the movements? These are military operations that are getting ready to happen on a very large scale.
Right.
And
okay.
Rahm
thank
Emanuel
you.
Is said to be...
Most of these major cities have probably at least 10 square blocks that if a nuclear device went off, nobody would miss it as far as the powers that be are concerned. And that's what I believe would happen in places like Atlanta and Denver, which Atlanta will be the eastern capital, and Denver the western capital of the United States after these things happen. And a small nuclear device in a part of town where the powers that be don't care what happens, that would certainly get us off to the races here, wouldn't it, Lucas?
Oh, yeah. It would start the wheels in motion. You know, I suspect that that's why we haven't been disarmed as a public. And, you know, they've basically gone
again, past... I think they've given up on that, really.
I think that they're going to rely on the public to defend the country from invasion. You know, I mean, we've got our forces scattered out through the rest of the world right now. They're not going to be much help. They're going to be over there in Afghanistan, Iraq, North Korea, you know, Korea. And, you know, it's going to be up to us to defend our own territory here.
Well, that's what it will come down to, absolutely. And we got another call here, Lee in Georgia. Go ahead, Lee.
Gentlemen, it was interesting as I was listening to the discussion about the whole deal with the Chinese and all troops and Mexico and all that, now hearing this discussion that you guys are having. And I'm thinking, if we tie all this together, see, you guys get, when I hear conversations like this, it gets the little conspiracy theorist in me kicking in. And just think about this foreign trade zone thing. Now, if just imagine, we know that months before September 11th, the United States military was amassing on the Pakistani side of the border, preparing to invade Afghanistan. So it wouldn't be the first time this is ever done. So let's try the scenario that's what they're doing out there where you guys were talking about. And then we have this foreign trade zone where they can, they're not under any obligation to hire Americans, which means they can import their labor from China. Who's to say they're not going to, let's say they use
right. creating,
as a way
you're talking
of
about creating beaches,
military personnel posing as laborers in these various areas. And we see where this goes?
Absolutely.
You can build on this until it reaches absolute Orwellian perfection.
Absolutely. I certainly understand the concept, Lee.
And this is the kind of way my mind works, and this is absolutely frightening. And when you talk about, you know, the other fella talking about nuking Atlanta, I'm about 170 miles east of Atlanta.
Okay. Lee, thank you for your call, sir. We appreciate it. We've got a break coming up. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Our special guest today is Lucas. His website to purchase his new DVD set, The Destroyer Star and the Future of Mankind. That website is rabbithole2.com. Rabbithole2.com. Lucas, we're getting down to the last few minutes here, and we got one more caller on hold. Do you want to take this last caller?
Sure, no problem. I just want to say real quickly that, you know, keep in mind that most of the German people had no idea that there was a massive invasion mounting against them until the bombs were actually dropping on Germany. So that's how buffaloed they were, and they're not going to tell us that it's, you know, they're building up against us until it's too late. So
no, that's the nature of military operations. Of course, they're secret. Regular caller here, JG from California. Go ahead, JG.
Yeah, afternoon, John, Lou.
Yes, sir.
Two questions. One for you, John, and in tandem with Lou's experience. This situation with Alexander Bachmann, do you think, John, in conjunction with what Lou may happen, is your expert advice or assumption would be that all this massive assembling in Mexico, much less what's going on in the northern border, do you guys expect this to happen this year, or just it could be any month from now on?
I'm not going to put out a time frame. I think they'll be invited in. I think there'll be civil. There'll be nukes go off in this country, civil disorder, and our country will invite them in to restore peace. And so they'll be our invited guests who will actually be invading the country. Lucas?
Yeah, I kind of think that too. And it's going to be all UN related and under the guise of helping us. But I don't want to give any time frame either because I don't know. I could just tell that it's almost like every single part of this conspiracy is on its each individual rubber band, and you can feel every part of it getting tighter and tighter, almost to the point of snapping. So it's not going to be long, but you can just feel the tension in the air.
So okay. What my question is, John, I mean, is it more than likely the mass assemblance is they're stepping up their time frame, and do you guys think it's going to be, you say civil conflict, but is that what you're saying, John, is they're going to cause a false flag in whatever respect, and then are we going to not, as civilians, populace, fight an invasion as a foreign military operation?
Most won't. Most Americans won't. They'll think they're here to restore order so people can go to work, pay their mortgage, and watch professional sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so do you think there'll be any fighting with the
general? They'll be fighting. There'll be people who understand what's going on. They'll be fighting, but majority of people will want to think that what the government's telling them is true, that these UN forces, Russian and Chinese forces, are here to help us.
I see. All right, thank you.
Okay. Lucas, we're just about out of time, sir. I'll be in touch during the week. We got a lot cooking. We need to stay in touch.
All right, sounds like a plan.
Okay, thank you for your time, sir. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks for having me on, John.
Okay, and that was Lucas, the author of his new DVD set, The Destroyer Star and the Future of Mankind, available at his website, rabbitholenumeral2.com. Well, we had a quick 2 hours. I knew it would be a fast 2 hours. And a new week coming up. Tomorrow's the last day of January. You have a storm coming in of biblical proportions. And that's it. You all be safe. By lots of ammunition. God bless America.